Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. We are going to be talking about the play Moscogos, which is an historical science fiction about Mexico's Underground Railroad during the United States slavery period, with my guest, Miranda Gonzalez. She is a writer, director, producer, facilitator, and organizational strategist. She has curated and led numerous interdisciplinary projects that blend theater, music, dance, and oral history to tell the stories of Chicago's history and that of many other people. She is a founding member of Teatro Luna. She has been involved with so many plays, as well as being the producing artistic director of Urban Theater Company in Humboldt Park, Chicago. She is a recipient of the Leaders for a New Chicago Award, Three Arts Award, the International Center for Women Playwrights 50-50 Award, and most recently the 2024 Diane Rodriguez Teatrista Award from the Latinx Theater Commons. She is also a collective member of the Culture Change Lab and serves on the National Latinx Theater Initiative Steering Committee. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
I recently saw this incredible play. The actors were so energetic and presented the story that most Americans have never heard about, and that is how some of the descendants of Black Seminoles escaped slavery in Florida and Georgia and settled in northern Mexico. We think of the Underground Railroad as the slaves going north to the non-slave states, but not to the south. Can you explain what happened and where and why they settled in northern Mexico?
Sure. When I was always questioned that part of history, being that the southern states were so close to Mexico at the time. So as an adult and doing this research, finding out that it was true that a lot of runaway slaves went south to freedom, I was really happy to know that my instinct was validated or vindicated. What this just means is that you had a route that went south that was really not archived and not documented that would allow for people to go to Mexico, because in Mexico, slavery was abolished in 1829. So the Black Seminoles are just one portion of people who went south. There are others as well, runaway slaves. As you saw in the play, there were the Muscogo people, and there was also a character that represents a woman from Virginia who was a runaway slave as well.
You had fascinating characters in your play that shared the concerns of the people. Do they stay? Do they go back to the United States? For those who stayed, I find it interesting that there are some that are still living in a village that exists today that was established in 1852, and they established sort of an Afro-Indigenous Mexican culture, retaining English, Gula-influenced songs, dances, oral traditions, Spanish traditions, Mexican traditions. How many people are still there?
That is a really great question. It is a smaller town. I would say for El Nacimiento de Los Negros, that's the name of the town, I would say there was about 500 people there, 500 to 1,000. Not all are Afro-Seminole in their lineage, but a lot of them do honor the customs of the time, or they honored their ancestry and have been celebrating Juneteenth since the 1800s, since slavery was abolished in the United States, and they still celebrate that today.
But at one time, weren't there about 20,000 escaped slaves that ended up on this land that Mexico basically granted them as long as they did military service? The Mexicans were trying to defend the northern frontier from raids.
They were. We actually do not know the exact number of runaway slaves that went south. In Nacimiento alone, there is not enough documentation to say how many fled. What they believe is that it was about 3,000 that went to that particular region, but runaway slaves who went south in general, it ranges from 3,000, some say 10,000, some say 20,000. And that is really what shows is that historical documentation wasn't archived or done for the Underground Railroad going south. So right now it's all guesstimate.
You speak English and Spanish. You have some heritage from ancestors that lived on that land and then ended up in Chicago. And what I find interesting is the play went from the mid-1800s and switched sometimes to the Chicago current scene, and the actors, I couldn't believe how many times they had to change costumes.
Yes, yes. My grandmother was born in Muzugis, Coahuila. My heritage is Mexican on my mother's side. And on my father's side, it is African American. And my family on my father's side lives on the west side of Chicago.
So what do you call yourself?
Blaxican.
That's a new word.
Yes, yes.
This land, isn't it in the desert? Were they able to make a living with agriculture or ranching or survive in any easy way?
They were able to really till the land and create recipes that did a lot of roasting underground and corn recipes. It's the northern part of Mexico. It is a desert. What this play is really trying to talk about is the fact that the land that was granted to them was not very well in infrastructure. So the government did not give them good infrastructure, and a lot of the African American Seminoles ended up going back north because of the fact that the land was not necessarily granted to them in the way or given over to them in a way that it was prosperous. So the town is still around till this day, and till this day there are not many paved roads. It's dirt roads. The houses are very small. The irrigation is very poor, and the town is really suffering from having access to water, to plumbing in the way that the larger cities do. They did the best with what they had, and they celebrated their heritage and their culture as best as they could during that time. They have also asked the government for recognition. So I believe their indigenous recognition just happened within the last 5 years. Prior to that, they were not recognized as an indigenous land or as a historical land.
Explain the name of your play, Mascogos, M-A-S-C-O-G-O-S. Where does that word come from?
That word actually came from, I like to explain to people that usually names are given to us. So the Afro-Seminole people who fled to Muzugis, Coahuila, when other people were there, they believed them to be with the Muscogee tribe. So they would call them Muscogee, and the term Mascogo came from that word. So Mascogos are the Afro-Seminole people who settled in Muzugis, Coahuila, El Nacimiento de los Negros, or the birth of the blacks. That's the name of the town translated. They settled in the Muzugis, Coahuila municipality. El Nacimiento de los Negros is the town that still exists today, which is the birth of the blacks.
You have written many different plays. It would take the whole interview to list some of them. How did you choose this story versus some of your other themes in your other plays?
I started thinking about how history repeats itself. And when I was researching about the Underground Railroad south to Mexico, I came across this specific region. And since my grandmother was born there, honestly, it resonated. And I thought, I should write about this. My grandmother's records, her birth records, we cannot find them. She had to go back to Muzugis in 2011 to get actual government documentation stating that she was born in that particular city in order for her to get paperwork in the United States. And when I started researching this particular theme, I noticed that a lot of people went to Muzugis, Coahuila, well, Monterrey first, which is a larger city next door, to claim that they were seeking refuge in northern Mexico. They had to declare themselves. I thought about my grandmother having to declare herself back in the early 2000s and her having to say, I was born here, and thinking about how easy it is for history to be erased. So I was really drawn to this particular municipality because of my own lineage and also just because of the questions I was asking myself about whether or not cycles repeat themselves, whether or not we are truly ever free, and whether or not, what does it mean for a person to have to declare themselves in a particular land and say, I belong here.
Why did you have some of the play in Mexico in the 1800s and some of it in modern day Chicago?
Because I felt that things are cyclical. I feel that the west side of Chicago in particular, and other parts of Chicago as well, but there are moments where I ask myself, if we really are free, are we free as a people? Are we still stuck in a struggle, and just the struggle is dressed in a different outfit? And I really love Octavia Butler's work. I loved the movies like Interstellar. I love the TV show Quantum Leap. And I've been really drawn to science fiction since I was a child. And I just thought, really, about what it means to be in a parallel world, and are those worlds any different from each other? Even though language may look different, clothing may be different, but are we really freer than we were back in the 1800s?
You certainly bring history to the fore, and it is important for us to not forget history, but this is some history that most people never heard about. Do you believe that through theater, through a play, you can present history in a more entertaining way so that people can be moved by the stories? Because I certainly was moved by the characters, how they felt, how they were reacting, what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I really thought about human relationships. I think when we think of history, we look at it as something that is observed or discussed with as an observer. And I did not want to create an expositional play that would explain history to someone that they could just Google. And I thought about how to create resonance with my audience. The way that I liked to lay out this story was through love and relationship to each other, right? So at the core of this for me is love. There are four people who love each other. There are four people who are also influenced and dealing with the environmental aspects of their lives. And how is it that they support each other through it? And how is it that they continue to love even though each person may want different things for themselves? So it was very important for me to think about the human relationship and the connectivity that they had to one another, so that way the audience can feel connected to people, and then later on they can Google the history. But the historical aspect of it is embedded within the environmental discussions that they have.
I was very moved by your play, well written, well performed, beautifully done. I encourage everybody to go see it. It'll be showing until November 9th. Where is it playing?
It is playing at the Los Angeles Theater Center at 514 South Spring Street, and I hope everyone is able to go out and see it.
I certainly hope everyone will be able to see it as well. You're primarily based in Chicago, so why did you have the premiere of Mas Cogos here in Los Angeles?
The Latino Theater Company is actually a home away from home for me. I am a part of the Circle of Imaginistas. It's called the Círculo of Imaginistas, where they commissioned 11 playwrights to write about different themes and topics that they wanted to have discourse with their audiences. They invited me to be a part of the cohort. I am one of four that comes in from out of town to write plays and present plays.
For those who might be interested in going, what would they be seeing if they went to Mas Cogos?
They would be seeing a story about a boy who starts to have attacks, and it is an illness that they don't understand, and those attacks push him into the future and bring him back to the past. The story asks whether or not Jamari is free.
Going to a live play is so impactful. You're right there, a few feet away from the actors, and the energy is so much different than watching something on the film. But yet, little theater doesn't get the same kind of audience that movies do. Do you think that a play like yours should be made into a movie so that more people would see it?
I would love that. I think that reach is a very important thing, and I think that impact only happens when you're able to bring awareness to a subject.
Thank you so very much for presenting this important information in a most entertaining way, moving way. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I really appreciate it.
I have been speaking with Miranda Gonzalez, a writer, director, producer, facilitator, organizational strategist, playwright. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.